Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of John, the first 18 verses. Listen, hear, and receive the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this day and for this opportunity to stand before these, your people. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are indeed our rock, our Redeemer, our Savior. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The writer of John begins his gospel unlike any other. Missing is the story of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. There's no declaration of a star appearing in the east. No vacancy sign at the inn is mentioned. No stable, manger, or animals witnessing the birth of the Christ child. Visits from the Magi or three wise persons are not anywhere to be found, nor is Jesus' earthly genealogy delineated. Instead, the writer of John memorializes Christ's divine genealogy, reworking the categories of time, space, and matter. The writer begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Summed up in this one seemingly simple yet complex statement is revealed the origin of Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the Christ, his relationship with God, and his identity as God. This statement in no way fits into what Christmas has become. There's no cue to begin the caroling, the gift-giving, sharing with family and friends, or the celebratory aspects of Christmas are not anywhere to be found or imagined in this opening statement. In John's Christmas message, we can't ignore the reality that Jesus made his appearance in the world as divinity, and yet in the flesh as human. Although John doesn't mention it, we can't forget Jesus had no biological earthly father, was born to a teenage mother under less than ideal circumstances, and was forced to wander like a nomad the first few years of his earthly existence, as there was a bounty on his life. No wonder there were those who didn't accept him as Lord and Savior. From their perspective, it would be difficult to reconcile that Mary and seemingly Joseph's son was the Savior of the world. Jesus, completely human and divine, had to face and deal with the realities of entering into a world which was created perfect and yet was no longer. John said he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. Yes, Jesus was there in the beginning at creation with God when it was declared that everything which was created was good. And yet every day, in spite of how this world was created as good, we hear of local, national, and international tragedies, natural disasters, heinous crimes or accidents, poverty, suffering, death, and even despair. How do we reconcile what we know to be true, that Jesus Christ was indeed born, is the light of the world, and came that we might have life and life more abundantly, and yet some people, communities, and countries are hanging on by a proverbial thread? Beloved, just as Jesus was with God in the beginning, he is the creative power of God at work today. We have the record of Jesus changing water to wine, calming a stormy sea, healing a woman with the issue of blood, walking on water, opening the eyes of a man born blind, and raising the dead. And Jesus is still at work and with us today, opening eyes to see the needs that exist in our own backyards, softening hearts to serve others that they might have a quality of life, offering forgiveness, using our hands to build homes, work the soil that others might eat, opening minds to discover medical procedures and medication to heal the sick, empowering us to advocate for just laws and equal opportunities for everyone. Reconciling broken relationships where all hope is lost, welcoming home those whose earthly assignments have come to an end, and allowing us to enter into a new year in spite of us. The condition of the world and violence that is often indiscriminate and could have visited our very own doorsteps. Yes, God is still with us as God was in the beginning. Sometimes we get it twisted, thinking the Old Testament God as judgmental, vengeful, destructive, and stern. We surmise that in Jesus something changed the character and attributes of God, altering God's attitude towards humanity, when in actuality, in the beginning, God and Jesus have always been the same, gracious, loving, merciful, long-suffering, and faithful. In the beginning, it was the Old Testament God who kept a disobedient people through decades of exile and servitude, led, guided, and provided for people for over 40 years while in the wilderness, had a change of mind and didn't destroy cities that were evil, and performed miracle after miracle, bringing life from bodies beyond childbearing years and breathing new life into dead bones. In the birth of Jesus Christ, God with us opened a metaphorical window in time that we might see, experience, and understand the unchanging and eternal love of God as never before. The incarnation of God reintroduced the light which had been with humanity from the beginning, the light which had and would again put darkness to flight. Just as God moved upon the dark and formless chaos which was before the world began and declared, "Let there be light," Jesus, the light of the world, the light which was there at the beginning, still shines into darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, and saves us from a life of complete chaos that would exist if we were left to our own desires, our own passions, our fears. And that same light which was with us in the beginning is moving us from glory to glory. And so we ask ourselves this first Sunday in a new year, how does the word fit into our present day reality? A new year where rhetoric, violence, destruction, pain, and suffering seem so prevalent and relentless. We might begin to wonder, where is the word who was with God in the beginning? Where is the word who said he would never leave nor forsake us? Where is the word who has made all things new? Where is the word who shines a light into darkness. Today, as in the beginning, the word brings a revealing light that shows us the reality of how things are, strips away all of our disguises, pretenses, and the self we hide and conceal from the world. Jesus, the word and revealing light, shines on our dark, stark nakedness, illustrating our true character and what we truly value. We never see our genuine selves until we see ourselves illuminated by the light of Jesus. Today, as in the beginning, Jesus, the word, brings a guiding light. John states, if a person does not possess that light, they walk in darkness and does not know where they are going. When a person receives that light and believes in it, they walk no more in darkness. Today, as in the beginning, when the light of Jesus, the word, is revealed, our time of groping and guessing comes to an end. Times of doubt, uncertainty, and vacillation are gone. A path that was dark becomes clearly illuminated. Decisions that were wrapped in the darkness of indecisiveness and night are eradicated. Brothers and sisters, I'm so glad that John's gospel message condensed makes plain the word divine Savior, God with us, has come into the world and has been rejected by many. But to all who believe, he has given the power to become children of God, the gift of eternal life. The Message Bible sums it up like this. It reads, the word was made flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. This translation gives us something to shout about. It reminds us that God is indeed with us, living, guiding, lighting, and directing us through life, even and most especially when life becomes difficult to navigate. God is not sitting high on a throne, but is with us in the grittiness and the joys of life, strengthening and leading us from glory to glory. That's a reminder this new year, this new beginning, that we are not in this life, we are not in this world alone. As in the beginning, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is near. Amen.
Let us come to God with our prayers of the morning. Dear God, words in worship cannot fully show our thanks for the miracle of Christmas and how you have given us a glimpse of your plan for creation and for all our lives. You have birthed through a child everlasting hope for our world. But as we look out into your world, we can clearly see the gap between our Christmas blessing and the pain, the suffering, and divisions within our world. It's too easy to put away our Christmas decorations and slide into the winter months of despair. But there's one Christmas gift that we do not use enough, and that's the gift of intercessory prayer. We can, through your Holy Spirit, be your instruments of change. And in this belief, we bring our specific prayers to you today. We pray for those lives that are affected by recent natural disasters, that those affected will find that they are not forgotten over time, but will be whole again through the help of our government, our faith communities, and other responders. We pray for those who have been afflicted by terrorism, that your love and light will overcome fear and heal wounds. And may those who instigate terrorist plots find a new way to live and to find the light of your epiphany. And we pray for our Washington politicians who love to make speeches and TV appearances rather than solving critical, important issues, that they can find ways to work together for the common good. And we pray for all the refugees and immigrants needing to find hospitality in a place they can call home when the world wants to shut doors and exclude them from experiencing your love. May we as a church community look for ways to be part of that welcoming. Show us how to break down barriers and to live into radical hospitality. And we pray for our churches that are in turmoil because of differing opinions on some issues, to find Jesus as their focus, the need to work in a common ministry. And we pray for all those on our East Liberty Presbyterian Church prayer list that are dear to us and others that are unknown to us, that they can feel your Christmas and Epiphany spirit and know we care about them. Help us, dear God, as we turn into a new calendar year, as an opportunity to be more focused with our gifts of intercession. May we realize how we can be your instruments of peace, love, and healing if we allow you to inspire and direct us. Help us to accept this gift of Epiphany. And may we, like the Magi that came to see the Christ child, turn another way, turn us another way in this new year. We pray all these things and much more through the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.